is the moment I knew that for him.
You can't even see the top of
the man
of
you're about
thing.
To see in here should you even be so foolish as to just no join limit. This is Ray Charles.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org.
Oh, all right.
Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go, like hiking, biking, fishing, or camping. Or do your own thing when you get there with family and friends. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council. Dear John, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm going to keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times? When we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while. Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. Check, change, control. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overalls you don't wear anymore. A perfectly good laptop that has your sight.
Keep up forever. In the past we pray.
Thank you. one more thing I got to say right here. Now, we'll be home. We like the birds and the bees. We'd rather die on our feet. Keep living on our knees.
Y'all, say it loud, say it loud, say it loud. Are you black? Are you proud? And if you're black and you're proud, what does it mean? I know what it means, but what does it mean to you? I tell you, I can hardly wait to come see y'all this morning because I want to hear from you. I want to hear what you got to say. And after you say what you got to say, I want you to tell me what your next assignment is. Yeah, Because, you know, we get our assignments of what we do. But I could hardly wait, and I thought James had won, but I see that his votes are being stolen. He had a lot of votes, and I was talking to somebody in Detroit, and they told me, but they didn't even understand the importance of James. Somebody told me, a friend of mine, said, you know, a lot of folks voted for him because he was a Republican, and they really didn't think about it. They didn't think about him just being black. They just thought of what party affiliation he was with. So I hope he pulled it out. It's really funny. This is something to watch. So what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to listen to you and tell me, did your candidate win or did your candidate lose? And not just the presidential candidate. You know, we also got something went unnoticed yesterday, Tuesday. Was the local elections. Dorothy Brown's seat. You know, she had someone running for the seat, which was Richie Boykin's seat, the black man. He lost to a woman of color, and she's in there today. I mean, she won, and she'll be going in January. You know, that clerk of the circuit court, Dorothy Brown, had a lot of black folks working in there. You know, that's what a lot of black folks worked in government, like in there and down there in the treasurer, the city treasurers, and you had black folks working in the tax appeal, you know, assessor's office. That's where you used to have most of the black folks working. And then when black folks was working, when black folks was working in there, but if you notice when we lose position, because, you know, Carol Bronze used to be all out in them places, just different places, Cesar Partee, you know, Tread used to be a spot for black folks, city treasurer, clerk of the city clerk, just a lot of different places and spaces, and I don't know whether y'all know or thinking about the fact that we're losing those places. It was so funny because I was trying to talk to some people the other day about politics, both local and national. And I was dealing with the local election in terms of what we really don't understand. I saw on the news yesterday, Durbin and Duckworth, Duckworth and the governor is telling Madigan to step down. I thought that was real interesting, y'all. If somebody out there in the local politics, tell me about it. And I tell you, a shifting or something is going on. And I always remember that Tammy Duckworth is also a woman of color. So we really don't have a descendant of enslaved black in America, or a black woman, really, in the Senate. An American black woman, a true understanding of us. We don't have them in the Senate. So if you might remember that Carol Bronze was there. And it was interesting because it looked like in Chicago, especially with the exception your southern folks and then also Senator Brooks, they only get one term. One term. Carol Bronze had one term and she was out of there. Heaven just came to tell me something I didn't understand what you said. But anyway, so when you think about it, I just wondered, I was trying to say now, okay, what we need to talk about today is where do we go from here and what's the future and what's on the table for black people. I saw Clyburn yesterday on a business channel, and he was talking about the election. And he said, well, yeah, you know, blacks moved this and they did this election. They did it. So Marie asked him, said, it was a business channel. Well, tell me, I might try to find that. She read something Sharpton had said about economics and all that other stuff, what they got to get into. You know, he said, well, yeah, I guess we have to do that. My question is, why weren't you doing that before you put somebody there? This is going to be interesting, an interesting sight to watch and to see. And the question is, let's talk about the future of black America. I think that's probably on my mind more than anything. And as I've been talking to friends, children, and family, and I said, you know, I'm really concerned about the black future. And if you're not concerned about black future, then you don't prepare. And we might be the only group in this country that's not preparing for the future of the children or of our race so that we can survive. Or do we survive? I'm not knocking it, but my question is, do we? Because most of our institutions that we relied on have either got co-opted or selfish or really not guiding us where we should guide. One of the things I think that was probably the most painful thing was that a lot of the people who are supposed to be your spiritual leaders, and you watch how they got caught up, not in trying to guide people, trying to speak up for the people on behalf of resource, what they need. It really was just carrying out an assignment. And the question is, what is the next assignment? And they participated in this whole hate, homophobia, racism, all that other stuff. And I talked to a couple, I said, well, tell me, what does that mean? And nobody can really tell me what it means. I don't care who it is. I remember when Hillary was running against Barack, and y'all hated her, and I was right here on this station. I told y'all, why y'all hating her? And y'all assumed that I was with her. I said, no. We can't hate her, we just vote against her, if it's what you want. But if people keep putting in our mind that the only way that black people respond to anything is through hate or fear, which means if you concentrate on hate and fear, then you're not concentrating on an agenda for black people or how to look at your future. So I told them back there doing that. They, oh, no, they said Hillary had horns, because the assignment was to say Hillary had horns. Now, once Hillary became all right and ran against, who did she run against? Romney, whoever he was. When she ran after that, and she ran for later on, when she ran against Trump, then everybody loved her and they hated Trump because they was told to. I'm just saying there's no consistency or no thought pattern. And then you have other people who really do have this stuff laid out as they build their communities. I told you last week about this brother who had just got out of jail under Trump, First Step Act. And he was in Robin. His name escaped me, but I'll get it back for you. And I thought that those who have money, based off of the suffering people have done, they was able to be in a position to have it, that maybe they should go to Robin and be a Robin up. Most of the things that we had are just going away, and those new money people don't know what to do with their money. New money, you have new money, you have old money. Chicago used to have a lot of old money. And then in the South, you had a lot of old money because they had land and everything. I don't know how much old, and as the old money, the older people die out, and their children inherit that old money, they begin to use it like new ideas, new money. Don't understand the old money was for to build up black folks. When black folks just couldn't get loans from the bank, you had folks like Fuller and different folks who loaned money to people. You know, you had people who did that, who actually did that to help them start business. And, you know, when I think about Gladys, that used to be on Indiana, that might be the first soul food restaurant I ate at when I came here. Dr. King took us over to them. Come on, y'all, I'm going to take y'all where y'all get some country food. And we went in there and we sat Gladys in the basement there. And we sat down there and she had fried fatback or whatever. I don't forget what that stuff was. And but she had the alligator syrup and the biscuit. I always, because I still eat, I still have the alligator syrup because it means alligator means Alabama, Georgia. That was our syrup. And it's really good to spit. And she had all the stuff. But then I went on later on, as Gladys moved and she grew. If you remember, her color was green. It was the same color as First Church. Why? Because preacher had all of them to go into business. And they would help them, show them how to get businesses. You will find most of the people in those churches really did open up little small business, even if they was little stores and stuff. I was over there on Princeton the other day, and I was on, I think it's 48th in Princeton. And I thought about Cardell. I saw that store still boarded up and the land and how he fed that whole community around there. He had his little neighborhood store. So you had so many different things and different people doing things. The old money, when you think of the orange juice man that's gone, you know, Grove Fresh, you think about all the different businesses that we had. Somebody called me tomorrow. Well, I went Dale Gresham, Sasha's Parker House, and it was Chinese. But I said, well, because those are the people who took over. What are our major magazines now? What are our major what's now? Now, other folks have them. Be clear on that now. Other folks have their magazines. We just got Diversity Magazine and all this other stuff. But other folks have theirs, and they have their communications and all. And I'm just trying to see what are we showing our children other than hate and fear, and that's how we operate. I heard more people in this last election, even before that, because it's been going on for a long time. You either operate off of hate or fear. It is not a strategy to advance our community. Let me give you an example. Every time I look at the TIF money, y'all still don't know because y'all still don't understand. And as I told you, being one of the first blacks aldermen or in the black community to have a TIF, which was 55th and Wentworth, which was the Grand Boulevard Plaza that they burnt down during the riots, burnt half of it down. That was the first TIF fund, economic. That was the last economic development project that Harold broke ground for before he left us. And then Streeter did the can company. But then understanding TIF, how you, the whole purpose was to rebuild our communities. And the only reason you was able to hold your tax dollars in those tracts, they used to call track of land, was based off the poverty or based off what was in those communities. And most of the tracts in our community are still like that because nobody built our community or used it. They used it for other stuff. I pioneered the TIF NIF, the neighborhood TIF, where I remember they wanted to do something in the Fourth Ward. You know, them houses they got, them condos they got around there. By Jewels over there on 35th Street. And they needed to use some of my tracks to add into it. I told them you can't do that. But if you do it, then you're going to have to do a TIF NIF neighborhood thing where you give something back to the surrounding communities. But there's a lot of stuff that if you understand it, you're able to do it. And we also had a manufacturing TIF. Of course, after those same forces told lies and stuff. And after I was out of there, it went away. The manufacturing TIF was on 47th Street, 4751st, over a little bit past University on Track, opposite where you see the industrial zone on 47th Street. And we really was working together, began to pull folks. I traveled abroad, talked to some of the African people to try to see what we can do. But here, too, to try and build up that. Now, after my defeat, the industrial TIF just, I don't even know whether it's still there. They might have redone that and reallocated not to have that as an industrial TIF. I mean a manufacturing TIF. Because our people don't understand government and they don't understand how to leverage, we end up the loser. Even when folks get elected, we end up losing. Even those we put in office don't understand it. Once they get there, they might go there with a certain attitude and they get frustrated because they don't have any support or help or don't know what to do. Those of us who went in with Harold Washington was trained. We was taught, I should say. He trained dogs. We was taught to talk government. We had to study government. We had a big old binder. We had to go read and understand all of the laws of the council, all the rules of the council, and how to get around that. We had to do that to protect him, and then we was able to understand what government was and how to leverage. We just got through going through selecting judges. Y'all went and voted for some judges in Chicago. Y'all don't even know who they was. You might have voted for some bad ones. You might have voted out some good black ones. We used to didn't have no black judges downtown in these courts. But because of Anthony Young, Representative Young, and Representative Williams, we shared an office. He was my state rep. They went from merit to selection to where they put this law in place where we had to deal with sub-districts and stuff, which then began to put more black people on the bench and all of that. That didn't just happen. See, a lot of folks don't know that, why we be selecting these. You go before some of these black judges, they didn't have any down. They had merit selection, and they would only put who they wanted to, who was good Negroes. So understanding government, Beavis, myself, show all the black committeemen, we would come together, and we would discuss who we were going to put on our palm card, because we knew that if all of the black committeemen put them on their palm card, those judges would get in. But we also brought them before our people, too. We never endorsed anybody without bringing them before our people. And there's times I didn't even agree with Beavis. There was times I didn't agree with him. We was on a different spectrum a lot of times politically. But things like that, well, I said, we'll take these judges. I said, I don't want those judges. And we would say, we don't want those. He has always tried to slide a little white ones. They all had some white ones, too. And we would make them come and ask us for our support. We didn't just automatically do it. But the fact that we came together and put them on our palm card, they won. When Joe Gardner, who y'all don't know, probably some of y'all don't know, the younger ones, when Joe Gardner died, his seat was open. And the machine was going to take it, and we got together, and Lou Jones and I asked Barbara McGowan, would she run for that seat? And she didn't want it because she was Joe's assistant. And she thought she wouldn't get it, but she got the seat because all of the black committeemen, we got together and decided that's the only way we were going to put her on our seat. So we selected some people, we did stuff. Even some of those black committeemen that we didn't get along with, we did what committeemen do, slate candidates that we wanted locally, and we stuck together. That's the only reason I wanted to be one, so I could have a say over who was doing what. But always bring them before our organization so our captains and our leadership could know them. I'm not even sure these people still have leaderships and captains. But that's understanding government or getting together like they're doing the budget now here in Chicago. Getting together with the budget, breaking it out, what days we was going to be there, because you don't always sit through all of them. what days you was not going to be there, and how we was going to push to get more for black people. That's how we got more black people. We got folks at the airport. We got folks different places. Incrementally, we did that because we came together and we did that. And I don't know whether that's still going on or not. Because you have strong council, weak mayor, just like government, legislative and executive branch. But it's been flipped because they have to work together. Just to say I'm head of the caucus or I'm in black caucus and you don't put together no black strategy, the caucus means nothing. Whether it's in the state, the city, or the federal, it's just there. So our people really don't understand government. There's no way Richard Boykin should have lost. He should be he should have won and be getting sworn in January in Dorothy Brown seat. But them folks are all over the place. A lot of black committeemen supported the other lady. There's no reason in Detroit why to leave the Arab one over the black woman. But there's no reason why John James votes against Stone. It's just a lot of not understanding politics or not understanding electoral politics or not understanding what role government is, the state, the city, the state, or the federal. And we really don't understand. We just wait for our marching orders. And it's unfortunate because I think black leadership is so sold out, it hurts. Or either they don't have understanding. It used to be that black leaders would come together and talk about what we wanted for stuff. Last week somebody called and said, about a legacy. I laughed at him. I didn't laugh at him, but I thought he didn't understand. I remember when, and I mentioned to him about Harold Washington. When Harold Washington was first running, and his anniversary coming up of his death soon, and they'll be having something at the Oakwood, the Harold Washington Legacy Committee. But when we got ready to put Harold in, these folks didn't believe it. I remember I was over in Robert Taylor, and Ms. Knight, who was with Jane Byrne, and the other person with Daly, Ms. Knight came out of the, she came out of her thing with a knife. If it had not been for Lovey Copeland Dixon, she probably would have gotten me. But she came out with a knife, told me, don't you bring that S over here. That so-and-so ain't going to win. I used to have respect for you, Dorothy, because you was fighting for the school, and you getting up there trying to put that, he ain't going to win. It was like, we went up against a lot before y'all even knew it. To convince our people that Harold Washington could win. And what you don't understand is that, hey, that wasn't the first time Harold had ran. You also had Dick Newhouse, who had also ran. You don't even know who Dick Newhouse is. Because our history, they don't let us know our history. You don't know your history, legislative, economically, culturally. You cannot build if you don't know. Newhouse ran, he lost. Because the people decided that they wanted to put Harold in. And that was because of our movement of fighting Jane Byrne after she turned her back on us. But I want those who remember, I'm not talking about the general, I'm talking about the primary. It was hard to get people. It was hard to get people to support Harold Washington. It was very difficult because they didn't believe it. But we got the grassroots people. We went over to Robert Taylor and got all them brothers and stuff over there and all over the city. And said, we can do this, y'all. And them parents from Parent Equalizer, we can do this, y'all. And Lupom and George and all of us and with Street and all of them, we decided that we were going to do it, and we had a plebiscite. And the plebiscite selected Harold, and Harold always says the plan, not the man, because he really wanted to stay in Congress at that point. He was so sure. Folks always say, Harold said, give me so many votes and I'll run. That was just something he was saying. But they don't know the other stuff and how we mobilized and organized, how we were responsible for putting together the Deputy Register program, how we had to go down there with Chairman LaVelle and Byrne and all of them, and we had to fight to get an opportunity to do deputy register. You can register people. You have to go to the Board of Election, or you register in your precinct day, or in precinct registration day, and you only have one precinct. You don't have you couldn't just register anywhere. But we fought for that, and we won that. I remember when we were at the Parent Equalizer was responsible for the welfare office on 39th Street. It used to be over on Pershing. They tried to make it so hard for us. We put our – Nancy Jefferson had a group. We had people all over. Joe Banks, y'all know all these folks. We had people all over everywhere. And they gave us this hard time. But we fought, and I'm almost got to take a break. I'm so sorry. And I might just go on. Y'all hold on. We fought because I started late. But we fought to get the deputy registrar. I remember we were, they said we had to have a table, had to have chairs, had to have a van. They ever come out, and that wasn't that. It was going to shut down our sites. People don't know that. They take it for granted now. So we fought for that. They don't know that we used to have the commissioners used to be at large. We fought to put district to have commissioners in different districts. But you don't understand all this politics and all this other stuff, Cornel Davis and all of them. We don't understand politics. But other folks who have recently come to this country, they have currency, they have country, and they're mobilizing the economics, they're mobilizing the education. That's because the elections going on did not stop them from getting their money for their schools or their money for their business like this. And, you know, y'all want to get mad about other folks, tell me they're taking your stuff. No, they're not taking your stuff. They're just mobilizing and organizing and moving on while we sitting here waiting for our next marching orders, or we have one leadership or somebody who take their little stuff and they go on, and there's no holistic approach. Because if there was a holistic approach of black leaders, there's no way in the world that John James would not have his seat today talking about some party. There's no way in the world that Carol Bronze would have lost her seat. I'm just, you know, how many minutes I got over there? Okay, I might try to take a break and come back, because it's a lot of stuff that I want to just talk to you about. I want to talk to you about business, politics, and I don't want you sitting by waiting for your next assignment. And if you know what we're going to get out of the deal, let me know. And I think I'm talking like this because I am concerned about the future of the black community. And we got to stop operating off of fear and hate. Talk of Chicago 69WVON. Our number is 773-591-69. We're streaming live at www.vvon.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook, group Facebook. I guess they still got me on because they've been shadow banned me. They took me off a long time ago. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. Get your coffee, get your tea. I'm going to be gone 1 minute. I'm going to come back and I'm going to take some of these phone calls, because we're talking about future black folks, what we have to do, and you got to understand how we're going to get rid of this hate and this fear. Get your coffee, get your tea. Come on back and talk to me.
When you're trying to maintain your financial health, every little bit counts. At Wintrust, we've developed an account and offer to help. When you open a Total Access checking account today, you'll get a $300 bonus. You can do it all online from the comfort of home. Plus, Total Access Checking offers free ATMs nationwide. Open an account today at wintrust.com/TAC. $100 required to open. Requirements to qualify. Must use link to apply. Member FDIC.
Wouldn't it be great if everything came with more? Like if your new computer came with unlimited tech support? When you choose a Medicare plan from United Healthcare, you get more. Like plans that have dental and vision coverage, plus hearing coverage. Call United Healthcare at 1-800-364-1360 to get Medicare with more. Remember, Medicare annual enrollment ends December 7th.
Benefits and availability may vary by plan and location. More plans based on year-over-year comparison of United Healthcare plans.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
We've been gone. We've been treated bad, talked about.
Say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. I'm black and I'm proud, y'all. We back talking Chicago 69 WVON. Coffee's in the conversation with me, Dorothy Wright Tillman. Right in the city of Chicago, WVON. I'm number 773-591-69. Streaming live, www.wvon.com. We on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We are also on Blog Talk. If you miss it, you can go back. We're talking about the future of the black folks right now. Where do you see us going? What do you see us doing? I'm going to try to take a few calls before I go to my 7 o'clock break. I know some of y'all been calling, and the phones are so busy, you hang up because we can't get to you because all the lines are just ringing and ringing. So keep calling back. Okay, let me go to the phones, and I'm going to try to I'm not going to go to Mama D. I want you to wait. Anita, you was the first. How you doing? First, you got here early this morning, didn't you?
Good morning.
Good morning, that's Anita.
Oh, what I see our future as, I think Elijah Muhammad had the best understanding as far as what we needed to do to restructure our families after, you know, the Caucasian didn't allow us to have family ties or anything normal, okay? That's so important to stabilize our community. And we still have problems. Some of us have figured it out, and some of us still have not.
So you're saying one of the most important things for the future is the family. I'm right now what y'all said what's important. And I agree with you, the way, family.
The way Elijah Muhammad said that the mother should have a role and the father should have a role, and he thought the man should definitely protect the woman through, you know, pregnancies and things like that and her intellectual development. But that's also for his children, and so they could have an inheritance, because we didn't get the inheritance when we was with the Caucasians, because we never got the we never even were able to naturalize as a family member with them. Pretty much, you know, we couldn't
Anita,
be recognized as married.
Anita,
yeah.
Now you tell me stuff every week, some of it, but I'm just putting out what you said. You said to the future of our, what we're gonna do for the black community is try to rebuild and restructure, make sure our black that we put family together. That's your number one, right?
I like the way Elijah Muhammad did it. Now, I'm going to put that
well,
out
there.
I heard
you. You keep saying that, and I'm not knocking that, and I understand, because I knew the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But I'm saying that your thing was family. Other folks might say Dr. King. Other folks might say Malcolm. Folks got different things, but as long as our common denominator is family, right?
Well, the moral part of the family.
The moral.
Like
okay,
Jesus
moral.
Taught.
I like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, I'm not just anything. Not
I got
just
you.
Anything.
I like that.
Elijah was a father. I think his father was a Christian minister.
Okay, but you're saying family from the moral part. Gotcha, Anita. Thank you. I like that. I like that very much. Milton? Hello, Milton.
How you doing, Dorothy?
Okay, give me your, what's your part? Anita said, black, family with a moralness.
Black is beautiful.
Okay.
And forever, like the earth. Do you believe that?
Of course. Is that what you want to teach our children? Black is beautiful.
Yes, yes. And
okay.
I want to teach you something. I want you to call me, please.
Okay. Evan, to get Milton's number. Okay. Let me go. Okay. How many minutes I got over there? Okay. I ain't got but 2 minutes. I'm going to take one more call. You hang in there, Mama D, because I really need to. Okay. Nia. Nia, got one minute.
I'll pass and come another time.
You want to hold on to after the break?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay, put her back on hold. Okay, y'all. Y'all hold on. The phone, all the phones lit up, and I know y'all been calling this morning, and by the time Evan tried to get to you, you'd be gone because all these phones keep lit up. I got a few lines. If you can get through before the break, you better get and hold on because I got a few lines. Talk of Chicago 69, that VON. That's our number. Call for you in a conversation with me. I want to know about the future of the black community. And what are we going to do to make sure that we leave some back behind for our children? How do we come together like this besides fear and hate? Get your coffee, get your tea. Come on back and talk to me. I'm not going to be gone long, but I'll be on back, y'all. Be right back. Okay.
Ain't nobody worrying when the shots fly high and the sirens start to ring. Ain't nobody worrying when the kids die young. The mothers are suffering. Ain't nobody praying when they kneel down low. All they're doing is tying their shoestrings. Ain't nobody worrying no more, no more, no more, no more. The homeless have nowhere to turn when their stomachs start to burn, cause they ain't got food to eat. How the children gonna learn when they gotta take turns, cause they ain't got books to read. Then our babies turn
I'm Vanessa Tyler.
And I'm Mike Stevens on the Black Information Network.
When will it be official? Georgia is so close that Georgia's Secretary of State says they'll have to count again.
With a margin that small, there will be a recount in Georgia.
Georgia's millions of votes are practically split in half. The state has 16 of those precious electoral votes. Biden has the slight edge, and if he wins, he will be flipping red Georgia blue. The last time Georgia voted for a Democratic president was 30 years ago, with the win going to President Bill Clinton. No question, a lot is riding on the Peach State.
The stakes are high, and emotions are high on all sides.
It's also tight in Philadelphia, where counting stopped for about an hour by court order to let Trump campaign monitors get more access to the mail-in ballots and to make sure there is not the fraud President Trump has claimed. It seems Republicans may be starting to distance themselves, though, from the president. Pennsylvania Republican Senator Pat Toomey, speaking on CBS this morning, is not so sure of fraud.
There are some irregularities, I'm sure. There were some decisions that were very bad decisions made by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, but I am not aware of any significant fraud, any significant wrongdoing.
As the Biden lead inches up with every mail-in ballot counted, a win in Pennsylvania would clinch it. The state has 20 electoral votes, just enough to get the 270 number Joe Biden would need.
Joe Biden's numbers could increase with the 1,700 ballots that were discovered in Pennsylvania after the Postal Service left them behind at a mail processing facility. The ballots had to be rushed to election officials in time for the Friday deadline. A district court judge in Washington, D.C., had ordered postal processing facilities to be swept to make sure every ballot was delivered. Ballots were found in facilities in Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and a few other locations. Judge Emmett Sullivan is overseeing a lawsuit on how the U.S. Postal Service handled the mail during this election. The rough and tumble of politics, literally.
Don't get in your truck before you get smacked. Now, go on now. I'm asking you to get out of my face.
I'm asking you to quit pointing.
Get your hand. Get out of my face, lady.
The scuffling you hear is a physical fight between the Mississippi Election Commissioner, Sherry McClatchy, and a supporter of her black opponent. The supporter was holding a sign as Commissioner McClatchy was going to her truck outside a polling place. Witnesses say McClatchy, who is white, jumped in the face of the black woman first. McClatchy denies that.
I'm President Georgia.
Well, you walked up in her face. We got everything recorded.
He said something.
We got everything recorded, Ms. McClatchy.
I don't care. It's always one way with y'all.
Both women have been charged with assault.
Former White House chief strategist Steve Bannon will never tweet again. Twitter has banned him permanently for tweeting a podcast clip that he would put the heads of FBI Director Christopher Wray and coronavirus White House Task Force member Dr. Anthony Fauci on pikes and stick them at the corners of the White House as a warning to those who won't get with the program. Twitter says the tweet incites violence and violates their rules.
The podcast clip was shared with his Facebook and YouTube accounts. MailChimp kicked him off, too. Calling for executions also violate their rules. I'm Vanessa Tyler, along with Mike Stevens, on the Black Information Network.
Chicago is home to one of the largest populations of black Americans, and WVON is committed to keeping it that way. That's why we're joining forces with My Block, My Hood, My City, and Reimagining Chicago. And we're looking for leaders who are all in. If you're interested in establishing a block club for you and your neighbors, join us for our virtual crash course on block club organizing, Saturday, November 21st at 11 a.m. Great block club organizations create safe spaces, protect property values, reduce crime, and lead to better neighborhoods. Research shows that 70% of WVON's audience are homeowners, so we know you're out there. Get all the information you need to create or reestablish your block club. To register, go to Eventbrite and type in WVON Block Club. Spread the word. Saturday, November 21st, our virtual workshop on block club organizing begins at 11 a.m. My Block, My Hood, My City is committed to helping rebuild Chicago one block at a time. And we're happy to help them. We're your community building station, WVON.
Partners in Community Building is a HUD-certified housing counseling agency that provides comprehensive programs for renters, current homeowners, and those who are looking to purchase a home. Their programs help people who are struggling to pay their rent or struggling to pay their mortgage. They also offer financial workshops to assist clients with managing their finances. Call Partners in Community Building at 312-328-0873. 312-328-0873. Their phone lines are open weekdays from 9 a.m. to 4:30.
Due to COVID-19, all workshops are offered online until December 31st. You can register at their website at www.picbchicago.org.
I like a bed that's really firm.
I need something a little softer than that.
Rest easy. With the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, you can both adjust your comfort with your Sleep Number setting.
Can it really help me fall asleep faster?
Yes, by gently warming your feet.
Okay, but can it help keep us asleep?
It senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable. Sleep Number, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. It's our Veterans Day weekend special. Save $1,000 on the Queen Sleep Number 360 Special Edition Smart Bed, now $1,799, plus free delivery when you add a base. Ends Wednesday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
Hey everybody, this is Melody Span Cooper. Every other year, Ariel Investments and WVON acknowledges 40 outstanding local business, civic, and community leaders, 40 and under, and their induction into an exclusive club we call the Game Changers. They represent the next generation of Black leadership in Chicago. This year's theme is Black Excellence Matters. And over the next few months, we will introduce you to this group of talented young influencers. Also new this year, you'll get a chance to see their celebration on Von TV. 2020 has been an overwhelming year for most of us, but these 40 young individuals continued to thrive. Congratulations to the 2020 class of 40 Game Changers. It's an exclusive feature of the Urban Business Roundtable, presented this year by our friends at BMO Bank.
Join me on Read Between the Lines, Saturday 2 to 4 p.m. Central Time on WVON 1690 AM. We are on iHeartRadio. We take on the controversial topics. Our mission is Black empowerment. Come on, express yourself. We do grown folk radio. Yeah, uncensored, unapologetically Black. Right here, WVON 1690, 2 to 4 p.m. Central Time, Saturdays. We will be waiting for you. This is Eddie Reed.
Medicare annual enrollment begins October 15th. The Insurance Exchange, located in South Holland, will be hosting limited seating in-person seminars. All safety guidelines will be followed. Virtual meetings are available also. Visit our website, www.insxchg.com, for more information. Contact William Carruthers, insurance broker, at 708-527-0962 for more information. Now for the exciting part. Please tune in every Saturday at 8 a.m. to our new weekly show for a discussion on health insurance exclusively on WVON 1690.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Van Pelt inviting you to tune in to my brand new show on WVON every Sunday at 5 p.m. The show is entitled Sex, Love, and the Black Man. Yes, every Sunday at 5 p.m. right here on WVON. This is Dr. Patricia Van Pelt, and I want you to meet me there.
Tune in every Sunday at 5 p.m. to hear Dr. Patricia Van Pelt on The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
I like a bed that's really firm.
I need something a little softer than that.
Rest easy. With the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, you can both adjust your comfort with your Sleep Number setting.
Can it really help me fall asleep faster?
Yes, by gently warming your feet.
Okay, but can it help keep us asleep?
It senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable. Sleep Number, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. It's our Veterans Day weekend special. Save $1,000 on the Queen Sleep Number 360 Special Edition Smart Bed, now $1,799, plus free delivery when you add a base. Ends Wednesday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
From the Xfinity Studios at WVON.
We're your original social media.
Hashtag Dorothy Tillman on 1690, The Talk of Chicago.
I'll rejoice.
But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind.
It really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. And he allowed me. And I looked over, and I seen the promised land. Might not get there with you, but I think we got enough sense to take our place and go on where we got to go. Do what we got to do. And understand, if I give my life for you, then you're going to do what you're supposed to do for black people. Just as Jesus gave up the ghost, showed to Dr. King, and a lot of other people that you don't even know. As I said earlier, if you don't know your history, but the political, the education, the economic, or the culture, we're in trouble. That's why I talked about the businesses just in Chicago. Chicago used to be the black Mecca. With old money, that's where you found your old money. You didn't get that much old money in Chicago. So even the ones that was left for the children, they done squandered it or did something wrong. You know, we forget people when they're not around anymore. You know, memories are a gift from God the death cannot destroy. And when we hold on to the memories, then we know. That's how in Africa they say you keep people alive by their memories. But we've been trained so much to discard stuff. That when somebody's not around anymore, we move on to the next thing. And that's how people keep control of us. Because we discard. When I think about we getting ready for Harold, I was talking about the election. I think about Mr. Gardner. He saw our struggle. He saw our fight. And he saw what we was doing. He saw we had done the deputy register program. Folks think Come Alive October 5 was the day of the deputy register, but it wasn't. And I'm going to find some of Mr. Gardner's stuff to play. But Mr. Gardner came. We met on the west side, Nate Clay and a bunch of Conrad, myself. A bunch of us met, Mr. Gardner's staff, I think, Emma Young and all of them. We met over there in the base on the west side because Mr. Gardner was going to help us come up with a slogan. And that's when you could all register on one day. That's why the slogan was Come Alive October 5. But we were fighting to get the deputy register program. But do you think people talk about Mr. Gardner now? Mr. Gardner was out there a few years ago on 95th Street trying to get jobs when they was building the Menard. No, y'all don't talk about him. I try to call Mr. Gardner once a month to talk to his housekeeper, talk to him. You don't think about it. Stu Collins, Jacoby, and all of them who started the Seaway Bank, you don't think about them and how they did it or try to see what they did or how they did that. George Johnson, Joe Louis Milk, you don't think about this kind of stuff. Kid Baldwin. Baldwin Ice Cream, remember Baldwin was over there on, that was over there on Indiana. We only got our Cadillacs from Al Johnson. John Johnson, the publishing company for Mr. Johnson. Mr. Gresham, who had, along with Louise Lawson and Thelma Smith and all of them, they had that bank over there, Illinois Service Bank, but also Mr. Gresham at the Parker House, Sasha. Remember the Johnson Product? Mr. Max Swing. Now, Cirilla came in there You know, everybody thinks the real star of the Black McDonald, but it really was Herman Petty. And he brought everybody in. He made them open the door for black people. Herman Petty was a great man. Some of y'all might remember him. You might have worked for him. He the one really pushed Black McDonald. Cirilla used to work with us with Dr. King. He was like kind of the treasure. He went and found the money. Now, when Al Boutte and all of them came together to put together Independent Bank, and black folks put their money in there, we'll do. I'm talking about Chicago now. So we don't talk about all that. But then you also had Beverly Bank, Independent, but you had Bank of London. There's just a lot of stuff. These are things that our children don't know. They don't know that there was a time that you didn't have no glass all up to the windows, or you went into service stations and they had these glass, the nasty glass, or they didn't have that. You just go in and you had a normal community. They don't know about that. That they didn't have all these shutters and all that stuff everywhere. Our children don't know that black folks had all these gas stations and stuff. Cecil Troy, y'all remember Cecil Troy from, this is the people in Chicago, y'all, for those listening to me nationally. Cecil Troy, my light going off on this thing. Cecil Troy from Troy, who had Troy orange juice. That's all the orange juice I would drink. I ain't drink no more. Cecil Troy, maybe got unplugged on it. Cecil Troy from Troy orange juice, you remember that? And all the different black cabs we had. You know, when you think of Lyft right now, that's probably when I was unplugging my phone. When you think of Lyft and all of them, and Uber, you have to think about the jitneys. That's where they got it from. But we had a lot of different black cabs, and we had liveries too. The Metropolitan Tailoring Shop, where this black man had a tailoring shop and was also teaching folks. Y'all remember the mayor of 47th Street? I'm just telling y'all some stuff. Cam and Nate's the only place I got my shoes. And the last place Cam and Nate was when they moved to 47th Street, they moved to 87th and Cottage. Then I think that's where that bank is now, that Penn Bank. But I was only getting my shoes. And the fact that a lot of the black all only got their shoes from there. And that's not to mention the funeral homes. And I think Ms. Byron was part of Independence Bank, too. We had Metropolitan Insurance Company. And the reason we had Metropolitan Insurance Company was because assurance, because they wouldn't give us insurance. And Metropolitan Assurance was up under United. I can go on and on and on. Mr. A.W. Williams at the Illinois Service Federal. You know about the Supreme Life and all of that. And I'm just telling you all the stuff that we had. Like, this is the old money. This is really funny. What about the Eat Shop on 47th Street? Gladys and Armand Lou Isola. Chili Mac, oh, y'all remember Chili Mac? Not to mention you had Neely and George Spencer and just a whole bunch of folks in them gas stations. Jimmy Adams. Don't forget about the Jones brothers. They loaned a lot of money out. They had the lottery. Folks took that. I'm going to put them in jail with the South Central building by S.B. Fuller. Just so much. Our dress shops, the women, I just get my hats from Eloise. But I'm telling y'all, I'd like to say that we have to have an economic, a political, and a cultural agenda. We don't control our music. A rapper, one of them rappers got killed this morning. I got Vaughn somebody. I saw Chance shot some out to him, so I said, okay. That's what made me look at him, because Chance had sent his condolence. Our music, because we had a generation who ran away from our music, the blues and the jazz and all the other stuff. It's just so much. We got so much to offer, but the people are not harnessing all of that. This last thing, and then I'm going to go to the phones. Sometimes black folks are scared. Let me tell you what happened. Like I said, I respect the seats of all folks. I mean, I don't disrespect the alderman who, because of them lying, she got the seat. She's the alderman. The mayor, all of them, whatever your elected officials are, they are. You got to begin to work and pray for them and move until you get off the plantation or whatever to move your community. But I remember somebody told me, said, Tillman, if you stop all that black stuff, you don't have no problem. Your problem is you won't stop talking that black stuff. Just talk. Stop talking the black stuff until they say, you crazy? Do anybody ever go to the Arab zone? Anybody else and tell them to stop that? No, they don't do that. It's only us, and that's fear and intimidation. And I'm only telling y'all that political, economic, and culturally, family, all that stuff, we have to do that, y'all. If we're going to survive as a people, unless you don't want to be a people, maybe you just want to be just blend in with everybody. Or maybe you're too scared to take a stand. I never in my life saw so many ministers that are so frightened. They just, and they're supposed to believe in God. So we have to talk about the future. You just consider about the future of your child. You're not thinking about nobody else. And your child going to be a little fish in a big old river, a big old ocean, because they don't have nothing. And they're going to be disrespected. So we're talking about the future here. Talk of Chicago, 69 WVON. I forgot to mention John James again. There was no reason why John James, they still in this election, and black folks not upset about it. They talking about what party he with. Y'all crazy. Them other folks be everywhere. Brenda Jones could not win the congressional seat in Detroit because the black community would leave, who never talk about the black community, only talks about Palestine. That's all she talk about. And I had some black folks who got mad at me, talking about, she our sister. So we have no black congressional representative in Detroit, with the exception of this one lady who have a little piece of Chicago. Now, next week, we're going to talk about the remap next week and how this is going to affect us in terms of our representation, the state, the local, and the federal. We're going to talk about that, okay? Talk of Chicago, 69WVON. Coffee, tea, and conversation with me right here in the city of Chicago. Dorothy Wright Tillman. Our number is 773-591-1690, and we are streaming live. www.wvon.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. Facebook, I guess. They took me off. They won't let me have Twitter. But you can also go to Blog Talk or just type in my name. Blog Talk Radio, type my name, and you can get the shows to look us up. Because some folks, most of my lines are lit up, but a few open because some folks didn't hang over for the hour. So I'm going to go straight to the phones. I think I'm going to start out with Mama D because she's been holding the longest. Mama D?
Hallelujah, greetings.
Greetings to you, too.
Five things quickly that we can do. Number one, our future first. Marcus Garvey said, race first. I say, put the mask on your face first. Number two, drop the fear that we can't do anything by ourselves and need people of color to exist. Number three, identify ourselves as indigenous Native Black American descendants of crimes against humanity and Jim Crow genocide, or American African. Claim the country first and then the continent second. Number four, wear uniformity colors of red, black, and green on December 18th, which marks the 155th anniversary of the ratifying of the 13th Amendment that abolished individual ownership of slaves and changed it into institutional ownership of slaves through incarceration.
Okay, now what day for the red, black, and green? December what?
We need to make it nationwide.
December what? Red, black, and green, December what?
December 18th is okay. The 155th anniversary of the ratifying of the 13th Amendment that changed, abolished individual ownership of slaves and changed it into institutional ownership of slaves through incarceration.
Okay.
It is called Divinity, Spiritual Succession, Divinity Day in Chicago through resolution, and we need to make that.
Okay, you said five things. You gave me nine. The new Jim Crow.
I got five.
You want to put six?
You don't have number five. You interrupted me. Anyway, now add the three visually affirmed days of respect to visually affirm the three key principles of the movement period from 1954 to 1965. It's now pending in Springfield.
Okay.
So get that passed because it tells the history from the survivor standpoint.
Okay. Thank you, Mama D. I'm writing out everything y'all say about what we're going to do here. Thanks, Mama D. Let's see you waiting. That's what, let me go back to Neil from Springfield. Oh, no, I'm sorry, Lee. Neil, I'll come back to you in a minute. Lee from Blue Island.
Hi, Dorothy. How you doing?
All right.
All right. What number one, and this is the only thing I'm going to say,
one. We need to just love one another. We're going to agree, and then we're going to disagree.
Right.
But don't hate on each other. Love one another, and we as a people can come together, and we can make everything work for ourselves. But we first got to love.
Love.
Just think about it. We do. We got to love one another.
Yeah, love is powerful.
But we got to go ahead on and do it.
Oh, yeah, we
got
to love each other. We can be on different, you know, you can have different views, but that don't mean you don't love each other. You got to love each other. Got to go back and love each other. Thank you so much for that. Because God is love. I tell you, God is love. Neil? Yes, Neil, from Springfield.
Ms. Tillman. We need to teach our young people to respect their elders and also to and make them, like you said, remember people who went before them. And, you know, because you're naming off a lot of names there. I worked for the Illinois General Assembly, specifically the Senate, for 36 years. In fact, I got to meet the late Mayor Harold Washington when he was a state senator.
Uh-huh.
He refused to leave the Senate, and I was staffed a committee that he was the chairman of, but I didn't work on him, but he refused to leave the Senate because he didn't want Jim Bulljive Taylor.
Wait, when we elected him for Congress, and he told him he's scared to steal out of people, he said, well, I'm going to hold both seats, and the press went crazy.
And
that's how we kept Taylor from getting his seat, and we had a committee meeting at Partee's office.
Exactly.
Okay, Nia, thank you.
And then I also want you to know that I also worked and learned a lot from him with the late Dick Newhouse.
Yeah, nobody talked. You know what, Nia? Nobody even mentioned Newhouse.
Oh, I mentioned him.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about our children don't know. And Cornelia Davis.
Right. Yes, I knew him too.
Uh-huh.
I knew him too, but no, I worked with Dick Newhouse. In fact, when he and I'm gonna get off the phone when he got ill, you know, with his memory and everything, he always remembered my number, and he would call me.
Yeah.
And Nia, after he retired, he said, "Nia, I need you to do this. I need you to do that." Until the day that he died.
Okay, Nia. So your thing is we got to deal with the political question and also understanding respecting our elders. And you really more political. You got a lot of political stuff and respecting our elders, what they've done both economically and politically. That's what you're saying, right? Thank you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I tell you. I'm telling y'all, black folks, we're going to have to do something to save our community and save our future. To the point, I hate sometimes to talk to people, they just go on and on and on and on and on and on and don't have nothing for what we're going to do for ourselves. I tell you something, these same black folks told me, you stop that black stuff, you won't have no problem. Why are you trying to do all that black stuff? You got to work with other folks. Well, that don't mean because you love yourself, as Harold said, don't mean you hate somebody else, right? Let's go to Dave from Cleveland. Hey, Dave.
Hey, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Dave? What happened to Dave?
I'm here.
Okay, go on.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had two thoughts, two questions I wanted to ask you. Thank you so much for presenting everything. But what did you think of a manufacturing initiative? You know,
slow up. I can't hear you. What did I think about what?
A manufacturing initiative.
Oh, manufacturing. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Making everything in that room, that microphone. I've seen them do so many things, Ms. Hillman, that it would be amazing. You know, they took the old tree stumps and they ground them up and that make the mulch. And I add some dye to it, and it's a heavy load to haul, but you know what I mean? So
yeah, no, I agree with you. So about that's where you get into your education in terms of we got to do vocational. But manufacturing is very important. That's why I told you that one, I had a TIF manufacturing district on 47th Street west of the Dan Ryan. I was going to do a TIF over there. Manufacturing is very important. We got to start and we got to grow. So I got you. Thank you so much. You want the manufacturing. Thank you so much. Oh, look at Ron down here. What you going to add, Ron? My board is lit up, y'all. Ron?
Four quick comments, no matter who wins
Ron,
the presidency.
Okay.
Good morning, Mr. Trump. Yeah, four quick comments. No matter who wins the presidency, we need to demand a black person, a real black person, appointed Secretary of Commerce. Okay, so then I'm going to work it down to local. Ms. Tillman, you was on point when you talked about the TIF, and I will commend Alderman Leslie Harris when she just kind of criticized our planning commissioner. And what she said is that they're making decisions off the TIF money with no input from
Well, Ron, let me deal with you on that. See, folks will say something, and we respond to it. I don't know what the rules are now, whether they went to Springfield and changed the law of the city. The truth of the matter is, the mayor, nobody can make a decision on a TIF district without the alderman signing off. Now, if Springfield and changed that law, that's a whole other thing. But they sit there with their acting like they, well, I can't do nothing. Yes, you guys ain't signing that S. Now, my question is, did they change the law? That's why you're supposed to help build your community and sign off on what was going to go on. Now, we need to find out, did Springfield change that law, Ron? Tell me next week if they changed it, okay?
Okay. Then my last two things, I think this is the one thing that all of us will agree on, that we have to demand reparations for black people. To me, actually, that's the most important thing.
Well,
and then the
repairing the damage. I hate to say this because y'all going to say, oh, she just with you. Trump laid out a whole list of things he wanted to do with us, and we could have pushed him and made him do some other stuff while he was in. I'm not talking about whether you liked him or not while he was running. He laid out a whole list of stuff, and black folks ran away from it. I don't care who's in office. You fight. And it's too late. You're talking about that's one of the things those leaders who was with Biden or with Donald should have said, this is what we want, and we're going to support you. What y'all need to do is call Clyburn. Clyburn put Biden in. I want everybody to call Clyburn in Carolina and tell him to tell Biden to put in a black Secretary of Commerce. Don't you think so, Ron?
Oh, absolutely. We haven't had one since Ron Brown. And we don't want DHS and all of that. We don't want the social service.
Call Clyburn and tell Clyburn. He got this influence. What he need to be asking.
My last one. Mm-hmm. My last one is tell me keep the eye on the capital budget, capital project that the mayor's talking about. $3.7 billion. We need to make sure, Ms. Tillman, that we are getting our fair share of this capital project. So,
well, that's the thing I was waiting on, Ron. Will you listen to me when I open up?
Always.
Well, did you hear me when I said one thing we did? What good is having a black caucus if it's going to act on behalf of black people? I mean, we would come and say, this is what we want and this is what we're going to do. And that's how we was able to get folks out, even though they got out there and turned their backs on them. We've got Reggie and all of them at the airport. We did a whole lot of stuff because we came together. If the black caucus would collectively come together and say, this is what we want, do we not going to vote for it? They'll get it.
Because she even said, well, you know, it can be used as economic development. Okay, and because we have been left out so much. But we need to keep an eye on all these things. And
well, keep your eye and call your
own. One day.
Yeah, keep your eye.
That's over.
I agree with you.
They know me.
Well, we're going to talk about more of this stuff next week or even remap. Keep your eye on it, but you got to talk to those elected representatives that you put in office. If they're not going to work on our behalf, then we don't need elected representatives. Sometimes I wonder why we fought to put people in place. That's why we put them in place,
absolutely.
Not for the right to vote, but the right to have representation. It don't make no sense. It makes no sense whatsoever. Patrick from Toronto.
Good morning, Ms. Tillman. How are you? Good morning.
What do you mean, mate?
Listening.
All right. How you doing? I'm fine.
I'm doing just fine. I as far as trying to get something now and calling Clyburn, you know how this works, Ms. Tillman.
But I told him in advance. I told him in advance. What are you going to get? Nothing. They just had you fear and scared. Nothing. This man promised nothing. I said, still call Clyburn. Don't call me. Call Clyburn and tell him you want a Secretary of Agriculture. He said on the TV yesterday and said, yeah, the black folks got him. We put him in, and I'm from the movement, and I understand this. I don't know about the movement. So, and I understand. Call him and tell him what you want.
There's a silver lining to all of this, I think, and I'm trying to look on the bright side of it.
Okay.
As far as black people, so I think what's happening is that we know how people, no matter who's in there, We're reacting to certain things that's being put in front of us. But there are people who are aware and who are for black empowerment, not just in the U.S., but worldwide, and those people organically over the last probably 3-4 years that I've really noticed,
mm-hmm.
have started to come together and organize.
Okay.
Globally.
All right.
And I think that's the silver lining. I think the silver lining
well,
is
so you said we got a silver lining and people coming together organized. Okay, I'm writing out everything that people say. I got your stuff, Patrick. Anything else? Because I got to move on.
No. Well, just you're doing a great job. I enjoy your show, and I'll call back.
Okay. Thank you so much, Patrick. My phone is lit up. I got the he go. That means two lines are lit up. Y'all can try to get in. I'll see what y'all going to say here. Reverend Weatherspoon? That's Patrick. He's gone. Reverend Weatherspoon?
Hello?
Yes, Reverend Weatherspoon.
God bless. How you doing?
I'm fine. What you got? I got 30 minutes.
Yeah, you know, just the month of November, you know what I'm calling for? My birthday is popping up again on Wednesday.
Is that the 11th or the 12th?
That's 11. That's 11 on Veterans Day.
Yeah.
My birthday is always on Veterans Day.
Okay. Happy birthday. I'm going to remember. Happy birthday. I'm going to put in some music next week. Happy birthday.
Now, I want to give you the number. You can call in. It was happy birthday.
Okay. What's the number?
The number is called in is 978-990-5118.
Now, what number is this?
Just a conference call number. We're going to celebrate on the phone.
Okay, 990-5118. I'm going to see what happened.
And the access code is 733.
You just gave me 978. That's the area code, I thought.
978-990-5118.
Okay.
And the access code is 733. Access code 733-9055.
Okay. That's my son's birthday, too. Thank you, Reverend Weatherspoon. Okay. Barbara. Barbara.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How you doing?
Oh, I'm great. I want to share that one of the main things we can do is have team building. None of us is as smart as all of us.
Right.
If we would unite.
Wait. You're going too fast. You said team building.
Team building.
Synergy. Uh-huh.
Okay.
The
so
whole
none
is
of us
mm-hmm.
is as smart as all of us.
Right.
If we would all get together and unite.
Okay.
Everywhere I go, I talk about reparation. And some people don't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the late psychologist, Dr. Asa Hiller, said about it? He said the acute memory that we have, acute amnesia that we have, is hurting us. Don't be afraid to realize that something happened wrong to your people.
Yeah.
And
Professor Small called it post-traumatic slavery syndrome.
Right, exactly.
And Dr. Pat Newton, she passed. She wrote a book on post-traumatic slavery syndrome. Dr. Pat Newton.
What's her name?
Pat Newton. You know how to watch I've had on my show. Dr. Newton.
Oh,
She passed about a month ago.
Oh, okay. Was it the pandemic? Stuff?
No.
Okay. Okay,
but she wrote post-traumatic slavery syndrome, too. Thank you, Barbara. Yeah, I was going to have Jamie on to talk about it. But we're losing great people who've been fighting for us, and that's one of the problems. And the question is, what's going to happen? Okay, he's gone. Linda.
Hello?
Yes, Linda.
Good morning. How you doing, Dorothy?
I'm fine. How you doing?
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to call in. I agree with everything you said, and also Certified Store on 79th Street. Those
yeah,
brothers.
Certified Store was on, uh-huh.
And Mahalia Jackson was, too.
And you know what else?